Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Samuel 12, verses 1 to 5 and 23 to 25. Samuel said to all Israel, "I have listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right." "You have not cheated or oppressed us," they replied. "You have not taken anything from anyone's hand." Samuel said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." "He is witness," they said. "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. I will teach you the way that is good and right, and be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. It's good to be able to worship together in person. So if you're healthy, if you can, don't lose the opportunity to come to church to worship. It's nothing like coming to the temple of the Lord to worship in person together. People say that a Christian life, a Christian journey, it's like running a marathon. I guess some of you may run short distance, a sprinter. You can probably finish your 100 meter in 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 seconds. But running a marathon takes, I don't know how long. I never run a marathon, but takes a long time. For me, probably it takes hours to run a marathon. But the Christian journey is like running a marathon. Some of us started running really fast, but if you run any long distance, you know that at the beginning you should not run really fast so that you can last till the end. Some of us do really well when we first become a Christian, but slowly, we drifted away. So it's important that we end well. Wow, that is unbelievable, isn't it? That's what I call end well. A Bible scholar, teacher, theologian said, "Oh God, keep me from becoming a foolish old man. Help me end well." Today, when we look at the life of judge, prophet, leader, Samuel, we can learn a lot from his, someone said it's his farewell speech. But actually, when he said this, wrote this, chapter 12, 1 Samuel, he's about 60 years old. So he has served in the temple. He has served to lead the people of Israel for all his life. But this is not actually the end of his ministry. Even though now they have chosen Saul to be the king, which is against the advice of Samuel and God's wishes. But God allowed them. So they anointed Saul to be the king. So now Samuel is going to hand over the leadership of the country to King Saul. So some said that this is kind of his farewell speech. But actually, he continued to serve his people until he's 90 years old, so for another 30 years. But he will not be the military leader of Israel, but more a spiritual advisor or spiritual leader. From this speech that Samuel gave in chapter 12, I can see that he's a very faithful leader. He said that, verse 1, "Behold, I have listened to your voice in all that you have said to me, and I have appointed a king over you." That's your wish, and God allowed that. Even though that's not the Lord's wish, because the Lord wants to be, they don't need a king. Jehovah is the king. It's only people. When they look at other countries, we want a king to lead us to fight, to battle. So it is a compromise. God allowed them. And then later on, we can see the trouble they're going to get into. They do not want Jehovah to be the Lord. They want a king. So Samuel listened to them. But even though Samuel is the kind of like the king, the leader has to listen to them. So you can see his servanthood. He's a servant leader. The word listen here in Hebrew is more than just listen with your ears. It's to hear, to obey, to understand, to consent, to grant request. So it's more than just I heard you, but he actually listened and follow their advice, accepted their advice. He is a leader. It's kind of like the king, where he's the only leader. So he served like the king for the Israelites, but yet he listened like a servant. That is the true servanthood of a leader. He leads like a servant. And when he was young, when he was about 14 years old, serving in a temple, the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am." So his whole life, Samuel's whole life as a leader, servant, he listened. So there's one thing that we can learn, even though he is kind of like the supreme leader, but he is so humble. He served. He served his people all his life. I'm really touched by verse 2. "Here is the king walking before you. You want a king. Now I anointed the king, saw for you. And now I am old. My hair is gray. And behold, my sons are with you." If you read the Bible, you know that his two sons are not exactly very spiritual people. They're not as bad as Eli's sons, but they're not exactly a spiritual leader. But Samuel here saying that even though they are not going to be leaders, spiritual leaders, but yet they are here, like in this church, right? Me and my family serve the people, serve in this church. And many of you, I know, your whole family grew up, especially in England. We have a lot of parents, children, serving together, growing up in this church when they were young. Like myself, I grew up in this church. I came as when I was in college. Samuel was saying that my family, my son, we're here, we serve the people. And I have walked before you from youth, 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old. He was dedicated to serve in the temple by his mother. For my youth, even to this day, I'm really touched just by this one statement he's saying. He served all his life for his people. And actually, he did not stop there. Even though now they have found a king, King Saul, but he continued, as we read on, he continued to support. When he said that, I can feel a little bit sadness in his words, because he was against the Israelite people, appointing a king like the pagans, like the other people. But God granted them their wishes. So Samuel is kind of a bit reluctant. Not that he wants to hang on to the power. As you can see, that he's a servant. He's not a power grabber. He doesn't want to hold on more power. But he's kind of a bit sad to see that they are not following God's wishes. And he served in the church all his life. We have to be faithful to whatever church God brought us to. If you come to this church, it's faithful like Samuel, support this church. This church is not the best church. There's no such thing as the best church. Even though it's the best church, but once you join the church, it's not best because you are not the best person, not the best Christians. You're going to screw up the church because of you. So all of us are sinners. Every church has their own unique programs that is good, but we cannot pick the program from each church. No, we cannot pick program A from this church and program B from this church and program C from this church. Just like you cannot have several girlfriends. Well, I don't recommend that. Right? This girlfriend is good in paying this and that one is good in cooking. So I have five girlfriends, each one from Monday to Friday. We serve the church. Some years, few years back, actually not that long ago, maybe 3 years before the pandemic, some of the pastors, we went to this revival conference in Winnipeg, in a small town, Steinbeck. It's a small town, I think it's only about 20,000 people in the town, and about 5,000 people go to this church. It's the Southland Church. So we went there. This church is like a shopping mall. It's huge, about 5,000 members. So basically, one out of every four people in the town goes to the church. And this church, I was really impressed by many of the things that they do. It is a church of prayers. So on Sunday night, there are prayer meetings. So the whole church come, all the young people, they all come to the prayer meeting. And I was told that you have to be there early, otherwise you won't find a seat. It's a 1,000 seat church. You have to come early, otherwise you could not find a seat in the prayer meeting. You have to go to the video room to join the prayer in video. And then on the Sunday, we were shown their programs. So I went to the teens Sunday school, teens worship, and then I saw this banner there. Love Church, find belonging, discover truth, experience Jesus. I found it a bit strange. Shouldn't it be upside down? Like, you know, church, you always tell people that you have to love Jesus, know the truth. It doesn't matter what church, each church you go to, you just have to know Jesus. And then we tend to teach our young people that. So when they grow up, they all look for another church because that's what we told them, as long as we have Jesus. But I found this is very interesting. I thought this banner was upside down. Love church. So they put church first. And I know why. Because once you leave your church, you'll be wandering out there by yourself. And not everyone can survive out there by themselves. They may hop to they think it's a better church. But once a while, later on, they find that church has a problem. Then they hop onto another one. Then eventually, they disappear. They do not go to church. So their teaching is very strong that you have to love the church. The church will keep you going. The church will support you. You need to find belonging in the church. And then the church will, then you will know the truth from the church. Then you'll find support from the church. Then you experience Jesus together. Samuel loved his people. He served his people all his life. I bear witness against, here I am, bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed. Have I taken anything from you, ox, a cow, or even a donkey? Have I taken anything that I should not have taken? Any bribes? Have I oppressed any people? It's hard to be a leader this day, unless you're in a more democratic country. If you come from a totalitarian country, you know that the leaders are always corrupted, because there's no opposition, no checking, right? No opposition party. So leaders will corrupt. But even in a democratic country, as a leader, we still enjoy privileges that maybe we should not have. But here Samuel said in front of his people, very proudly, very loud, "Have I taken any cow, ox, even donkey? Have I taken any bride? Have I defrauded any person? Have I taken any money, oppressed any people?" And the people said, "You have not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand." I wonder how many leaders today, even in a democratic country, can stand up to his people and say that, "No, come and accuse me if you find any fault in me. Have I taken any privilege that I should not have?" So I examined myself and I read this. I hope I haven't. I don't think I've taken anything from the church. I serve in this church as a pastor almost 30 years now, over 20 years. I did not take a salary. I work as a volunteer pastor. So I said that I'm sure that I did not take any money from the church, even though I should have. Even though I work as a volunteer pastor for over 20 years, I serve as I did what a full-time pastor do. I look after a congregation. I preach 3 times a month, teach Sunday school. So I said to the Lord, "I think I am okay. I haven't taken any money that I should not have taken. Even when I go to Alpha, I pay my $7. You know, the pastors have to pay for the meals at Alpha. I pay my $7 in advance. I pay 3 times ahead." So I said that, yes, I haven't taken anything from this church. As a leader, can we stand in front of the people? "I have not oppressed any people. The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have found nothing in my hand." And they all said, "Amen." And even the Lord, as we read, the Lord from the heaven sent thunder and said, "Amen." So this is a man of God, isn't it? When I read this, I really is an example to me that when we serve in the church in any capacity, not necessarily as a paid staff, in any capacity, as a leader, elder, deacon, fellowship leader, Bible study leader, Sunday school, I want a leader, we can stand in front of God and say that we are a faithful servant. We have not oppressed any people, abused anybody in our ministry. He served the Lord, and even the Lord say amen. As in Acts 24:16, it says, "In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and before man." We have to serve with our heart in church. We are all leaders in different capacities. We have to serve like Samuel. We have to end well. Most of the time, Christians tend to start that well. When we first become a Christian, we serve with our heart in church. We bring people to Christ. We bring people to Alpha. We share the gospel. We do many ministries. But as we go older and older, slowly, worship becomes a routine. Ministry becomes just a job. Slowly, we think that I don't need to do anymore for him. Some Some of us may be even worse. Slowly we drift away from church and well. Like Samuel, he can stand in front of God and become and say that I am blameless before God and man. But Samuel did not claim any credit. Even though the people, we asked the people, have I oppressed anybody? Come up here right now. I'm sure that if I said that, I'm sure a few of you will come up here. Maybe not now. Maybe during the snack time. So then, remember, Norman, you said something that really hurt me that time. Or you did something wrong. You forgot to pay your alpha last year. 5 years ago, you missed that one. Okay. I'm sure that you can find some fault in me. But Samuel said, come, anyone here, I serve here all my life, 60 years. Any one of you come. But everybody said, no, you've done nothing wrong. Wow, that is something. But he did not claim any credit. He's just a servant. And then he went on to say it. And then he started counting God's blessings. If you treat this like his farewell speech, why then say, what I have I done in my 60 years? I've done this. No, he actually have done a lot. Samuel is one of the greatest prophets of the time. He's almost put next to Moses. But yet, he's so humble. He did not say what he has done. He actually rise up during a very challenging time for the Israel people. If we remember the sermons I shared a couple of months ago, God's glory has departed the Israelites. And that's when Samuel came, appeared in the scene. He brought the people back to God. So he is a great leader. But yet, he gave all the credit to Jehovah. Samuel said to the people in his quote-unquote farewell speech, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and who brought your father up from the land of Egypt. Take your stand that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did for you and your fathers. It was the Lord. All the blessings came from the Lord. When Jacob went into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron who brought your father out of Egypt. It was the Lord who saved you. He gave all the credits to the Lord. It is not easy. It is not that difficult to do a lot of things. Even as a volunteer in church or outside church. But it is not easy to do a lot of things without letting people know that you did it. And it's not easy to give a lot of money without attaching your name to it. You donate a building, you want your name to be at the front of the building. It's not too difficult to be relevant if you don't care about being faithful. And it is not too difficult to be faithful if you don't care about being relevant. You understand this? It's not easy to understand. If you want to be a faithful leader, faithful servant, don't look at yourself that important. Don't think that without you, the church will collapse. The church will go on when I retire. Sunday school will go on without you. When I left my company 7 years ago, when I quit my job, my boss was really worried. I said, what? Don't we pay you enough money? I can give you more money. Why do you want to leave? I said, well, I want to serve in my church. You can serve in church on Sundays. What do you do on Monday to Friday? There's nothing to do at church on Monday to Friday. But I said, I want to quit my job. I want to serve in my church. So okay, but can you continue to help me? So I asked the church, she said, yeah, you can continue to help your company as long as you want. So my company actually gave me a laptop. It's a company laptop, can access to the company server. So keep this laptop at home. So when I have anything, I will send you emails through this laptop. So I thought that was really important. But after a year, they slowly forgot about me. So I have to take my laptop back. I don't think I need this laptop anymore. I know it's an expensive laptop. So nobody is irreplaceable. If you think that you're very important, then you cannot be a faithful leader. Think less of yourself. Then you can be a faithful servant. And then Samuel go on, like a father. He knows that he's not going to lead his people, and he feels a bit sad, but he continued to encourage them. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, no, but the king shall reign over us. Although the Lord your God was your king, you don't need a king. Church is not democratic. God, church is actually theocratic. Theocratic, theo meaning God, right? Theology, theo, T-H-E-O, theocratic, not democratic. The church is not supposed to be democratic, it's supposed to be theocratic, T-H-E-R-C-L-A-T-I-C, God center. But you want a king to lead over you, you want all these systems. So the Lord give you all the system. But in chapter 8, Samuel warned them seriously. In chapter 8, if you have a king, you have to pay tax, like what we are doing in Canada. They will take your son to join the army. But right now, no one forced us to join the army. They will have a government. They will take your corpse. They will take you into servant. They make you serve them. Sometimes we feel like slaves in Canada, isn't it? We pay so much tax here. They will take 10% of you. That's good. Only 10% tax. They will take, chapter 8, verse 11. They will take 10% of your ships. Only 10%. I want to join this country. Canada is more than 10%. So Samuel warned them in chapter 8, no, do not have a king. Let Lord be your king. But yet you disobey. But although you disobey, however, you have a king now. But behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and the king will reign over you, will follow the Lord your God. So even though this is not the best, it's the second best. But if you, your king, and the people continue to fear the Lord, God will still be on your side. This is a warning to the people. If you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, like they end up doing, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your father. And we all know from history that the Israelites did not fear the Lord. They rebelled against the Lord. So the Lord was against them, was said. But Samuel warned them, I told you so. Even though the Lord doesn't want you to have a king, but if you, the king, and you continue to fear the Lord will forgive and continue to bless you. But they did not obey. If you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away. Even when Samuel is retiring from the leadership, he still loved his people. This is a true leader. He did not say, good luck. God is going to punish you. You want a king? God is going to punish you. Without me, you'll be in trouble. He did not. He continued to warn them. He hoped the best for his people, even though after he left the leadership. we as leaders, when we leave a ministry, when we leave this church, don't badmouth over this church. A lot of people, leaders, when they left a church, they badmouth and wants to make sure that this church will be destroyed because I'm not there anymore, right? But instead, we have to continue to bless this church that supported us. Samuel, when he left the leadership, he continued to pray for them, to ask the Lord to bless them. Then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants. That's how much the people love Samuel. Even though Samuel is stepping down from the leadership, please continue to pray for us. Pray for your servant to the Lord, your God, so that we may not die. For we have been known, they have sinned against the Lord. For we have added to our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. Samuel said, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Wow, this is a truly true leader who loves his people. If I do not pray for you, it will be a sin for me. That's how serious he treats prayer is. Wow, I wonder how many of you will think if I don't pray for Pastor Norman, it will be a sin. Or if I do not pray for you, it will be a sin for me as a pastor. You have to pray for your leaders. You have to, not only in your personal prayer, I don't know how many of you pray for your church leaders, your elders, your Awana leaders, Sunday school teachers, fellowship leaders. You have to pray for our leaders. The leaders have to pray for the people. Samuel said, it is a sin if I cease to pray for you. Even though Samuel is stepping down from the leadership, he said, I will continue for the rest of my life. You live another 30 years. I will pray for you all the time. We have, as leaders, we have to pray for our members, our people. He who would be great must be fervent in his prayers, fearless in his principles, firm in his purposes, and faithful in his promises. I learned a lot from Samuel's so-called farewell speech. Samuel ended well. His life ended well. He's being a faithful leader, even after he retired from the leadership. He continued to support. When we look at our life today, most of us are still very young here. Live a life to the fullest, serve the Lord. And well, like the video I show you, you may have tumbled, fell during this journey, but get up. It's how you end that's most important. Don't give up. I fell a few times. I'm sure all of us tripped a few times, but get up. Continue to run the race. Don't just give up. Get off the track. Continue to run. End well. When you were born, you cried and the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a manner that when you die, the world cries and you rejoice. You rejoice from heaven. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Don't give up before you see the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to fight a good fight so that we can finish the course well, so that we can keep our faith. It is a marathon. There are a lot of challenges in front of us. Sometimes we want to give up. Sometimes we want to just sit down. But let us continue to run the race like Samuel. We continue to serve, to be a faithful servant so that we can all end well. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.